Linda, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture comes to us today from Matthew 24th chapter 15 through the 31st verse. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. Excuse me. But for the sake of the elect, these days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, "There he is," or "out in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Here he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other.
I'm a dream.
you don't have your Bibles open, would you open them there to Matthew chapter 24? I want to look at some very important verses there, a very important passage of Scripture, because I do believe that the coming of the Lord is near. I think it may be much nearer than we think. I think it may be while we're standing here, while we're sitting here, rather, that we hear that trumpet sound. And I trust that you're going to be ready. I appreciate so much Linda and her profession of faith in Jesus and her standing in the baptismal waters this morning. I know it's a blessing to us and a challenge. I trust to any of you who have not made your peace with God, to make your peace with God, because these are events that are going to happen, as I understand the Scriptures, after the rapture occurs. I've been asked, do I believe in the rapture? Yes, I do. It's not an article of our faith. There are many who probably do not believe in the rapture the way I do. But I cannot read 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 without believing that there's going to be a time that there will be a sound of a trumpet. It'll be the trumpet call of the Lord. Some believe it's His voice, which is like a trumpet, which is described in Revelation chapter 1. But there'll be that trumpet sound, and then the Bible says we will be caught up. And that's what rapture means. It's actually a Latin word. You don't have to use that word. But it means to be caught up, to meet the Lord in the air. And then the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible also tells us that that time, called the tribulation period, is going to be a time of wrath, when God's wrath is poured out upon the earth. And the Bible says that we are not children of wrath. And it says in the book of Revelation that God is going to take us out of the tribulation. So I believe that these are events that will occur and witnessed by those who are left behind. Now, I hope that no one that I'm speaking to this morning is going to be left behind, but it may be that there will be someone here who is left behind because you have not yet made your peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's a warning to make that peace with God before it's too late, because there will be those that are left behind. Well, Left Behind is a popular book series title. You may have read some of the books. There are several movies based on these books, Left Behind. Well, many think that this is pure fiction, but I like to think of it as future historical fiction, maybe a genre that hasn't been thought of. I'm sure that they've thought of that. But it is like history, but it's history that has not been written yet. And it's based upon the Scriptures. Well, Jesus describes these prophetic historic events here in Matthew chapter 24, and beginning with verse 15. And I'd like to invite us to look at them together. Three earmarks, if you will, of the tribulation. Now, if you begin to see these things, then you've missed the rapture, unfortunately. It doesn't mean you can't be saved. Many say, well, you know, I'll have a second chance if that happens. Well, we don't know, for one thing, that it's going to happen immediately. We don't know that death may take us before the rapture. So that's why the Bible says to prepare to meet your God, and that now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. So don't put it off. And I also believe that it's going to be much harder to believe in Christ during that tribulation period than it is now. We're not persecuted now, most of us, for our faith in Jesus. But then there will be severe persecutions, as we will see here. Well, what are some of the earmarks of the tribulation? Well, first of all, there will be a desecration. If we could look at it, the Scripture passage there together in Matthew chapter 24, and beginning there at verse 15. I want to read again just a few verses there, beginning at, again, verse 15. Where it says, so when you see standing in the holy place, now the holy place, they would have understood. Now remember, Jesus was speaking these things from the Temple Mount. And his disciples asked him, when will these things happen? Because he had been talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. Now those were massive stones. Some of those stones are still survive the destruction that happened some 40 years later by the Roman Emperor, or the Roman General Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem so completely that witnesses said it looked like a plowed field. He actually plowed the land after he destroyed the massive buildings that were there. Well, there are still some of those stones remaining, and it's called the Wailing Wall. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But there are prophecies about a future destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, if you look at Daniel 7 and following, you'll understand the prophecy that was given there by our Lord. His disciples certainly understood it, that there would be a time, there would be a timetable beginning with the return of the Jews to the promised land. And there would be 62 weeks. And then the Lord, and these are weeks of years. Now, I know it doesn't say that, but it has to be weeks of years. And I can explain that, and I will explain that more in our prophecy study this evening. Not necessarily this evening, but in our prophecy study on Sunday evenings. But I mainly want to point out that Jesus was referring to that prophecy that set a time for Jesus to come to this earth the first time. That's why there was such great expectation of the Messiah. Now, they didn't know the day or the hour. And Jesus said that we're not to know, we don't know the day or the hour of His second coming. But there are some very clear details in prophecy, if we will take the time to study them, about the desecration of the temple. Much like the one before, and there was a man named Antiochus Epiphanes who came in and he sacrificed a pig upon the altar that was some couple centuries before Jesus spoke these words. So that was the history of this term, the abomination of desolation. They understood this, the Jews did, of the desecration of the temple, the holy of holies of the temple. And there's a person involved, and the Bible says that that person is called the man of sin. And the Bible says that that day, the day of the Lord, will not happen unless the Son of Man, or the Son of Man of Sin, rather, is revealed. Well, there is a person involved in that desecration. The Bible is very clear that that person will embody all of the things that the people, at least, that are left upon the earth, will look for in a leader. Daniel calls him the little horn. And I'm not saying that the current president of Iraq, or prime minister, I believe, is the little horn. But I heard recently that he was a full head shorter than President Bush, who is not overly tall. But here's a little man who speaks with a very powerful voice, at least in the Arab world and in the Muslim world. Well, I'm just suggesting that there's going to be a person like that who will embody these prophecies of the Old Testament and of the New too. And he will come and ostensibly be the savior of the Jewish people, but he will desecrate the temple. And he will not represent the God of their fathers. So there's a desecration, and the place, of course, is the temple. That passage in Daniel speaks of him offering a sacrifice upon a wing of the temple, apparently out in open view where people can see it, even those that are not in the temple, to desecrate that holy site. The devil wants to tear us away from God. He wants to desecrate what is holy. We need to make sure that we have come into the ark of safety, which is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not trusted Him as your Savior, would you trust Him today? We don't know when these events are going to begin to happen. In our prophecy study, I'm going to describe the ticking of the clock. And the clock hasn't started ticking again because God, the Bible says, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He's waiting for you to be saved if you're not saved today. There is also in those earmarks of the tribulation of distress. And we're told about it here in the words of our Savior. He said in verse 17 or verse 16, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Now you can ask me, do you believe that God still has a plan for Israel? And is not Israel, or aren't the prophecies given to Israel fulfilled by the church? I don't believe they're fulfilled by the church. I believe that God still has a plan for His covenant people Israel, His old covenant people Israel. And here we find it here. God is going to fulfill what Jesus spoke here. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, did you notice He said, let those who are in Judea? Praise God, if you are in that ark of safety through faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be among those that are fleeing. But He said, let those that are in Judea, those who are still in unbelief, flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. So there will be distress upon the nations with perplexity, as Jesus said in the passage in the book of Luke, chapter 21, parallel to this passage. Not all of the gospel writers, you understand, told us everything, so we have four. But we know that the Lord also said that there would be distress of nations with perplexity. So that will be a time of tribulation upon all of the earth. The people, of course, specifically the Jewish people, but there were, and the persecution definitely upon the Jewish people. I wish I could say there will never be another Holocaust, but the Bible describes that there's going to be a Holocaust even greater, perhaps, than the one back in the Second World War. So there's going to be great persecution of not only the Jewish people, but all who will come to faith in Christ during that period. And the purpose is the purifying of a people. I remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9 and 10 and in some of his other epistles, 1 Corinthians, about the veil of unbelief, he said, that is on the heart of the Jewish people. And that veil is still there today. Now, there are Jewish believers, praise God. There's a remnant among the Jewish people who have accepted Jesus as their Messiah. But the purpose of that time, I believe, is to lift that veil. And the Bible says that when Jesus does return, they will see Him as He was when He arose from the grave. They will see the print of the nails in His hands. They will see the spear hole in His side. They will see the wounds in His feet. And they will understand that this is the one who came to be their Savior, and they rejected Him. But the veil of unbelief will be lifted. It'll be a wonderful day, but a terrible day at the same time, because we don't want to be in that tribulation period again. Well, there's also a deliverance spoken up here. If you'll look further in the words of our Savior, He said at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there He is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So there are going to be many pretenders during that period. And there are many pretenders now. But they're going to be even more multiplied during that period. And their deceptions are even going to be greater. And it's going to be very hard to resist their deceptions. Again, that's why I believe Jesus, in speaking these things, not only was thinking of His own Jewish people. And I started to say that Paul said, I have great grief in my heart for my own kin, my own Jewish kin, that they would come to Christ before it's too late. He had a burden for His Jewish people. And so I believe that this is not only a message to us, but it is a message especially to the Jewish people to repent and to receive, to believe in Jesus as their Messiah. Certainly during that period, there are going to be many pretenders. There's also going to be a perceptible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people who say, well, you know, these things are spiritual truths. These things could not happen the way the Bible describes. Surely the book of Revelation is not literal, meant to be taken literally, is it? I ask you, have you read the book of Revelation? Have you read it in comparison with what is happening in the world today? It's not as far-fetched as maybe people once thought it was. I think that's why there's a greater understanding and a greater thirst for knowledge when it comes to prophecy today, because many of the events are no longer do they seem far-fetched, but they seem very real, very possible, and even probable. So the Bible says that the nations are going to gather about Israel, and we're beginning to see that now, I believe. Certainly Israel is in the land, and they weren't until 1948. Some of them were there, but they weren't a nation until 1948. But the Bible says that when Jesus comes, everyone's going to know it. There's not going to be any of this, well, we're going to go over here and meet over here with the Messiah on the in the mountain or somewhere that is in secret and no one but the initiated seem to know about it. No, it's going to happen. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, every eye will see Him. You know, with television, that's certainly not far-fetched, is it? It may have been far-fetched at one time to think someone on the other side of the world would see Jesus coming. But certainly the Bible has not failed us there. It's going to be perceptible. And it's also going to be powerful because it says here, He is going to come with power. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, Jesus said in verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. Why will they mourn? Because they have rejected Christ as their Messiah, as their King. They will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Then He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call and they will gather His elect, those who have made a covenant of faith with Jesus and have received Him as their Messiah, from the four winds and from the end of the heaven, one end of the heavens to the other. Well, we're going to look on farther, I trust, with God permitting next week. Yeah, very interesting passage coming up here about the fig tree and about the days of Noah. We're going to look at two lessons that the Lord taught us about His coming that will help us, I trust, to understand this better. But again, I want to ask you, are you ready? If that trumpet call should happen today and you should hear it, I'm not sure that you would even hear it if you're an unbeliever. But you'll know that something has happened because there's going to be a mass exodus of people from this planet. If I understand the Bible correctly. And it's going to usher in a time of chaos upon this earth like has never been experienced before. So let me ask you again, are you ready? If he should call you up, or if he should, I was going to say by the undertaker. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't worry about the undertaker. You just think about the upper taker. But are you ready?